You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, what up, Jaguar fans? This is Tony Wiggins with another episode of Locked On Jaguars on a Tuesday. Thank you guys for joining me as normal and as usual. It is your podcast, daily podcast. You know how we do it here on Locked On Jaguars. It's your team every day. And as always, what we try to do is just bring you some of the most organic and original stuff to talk about your Jaguars, the team that you love so much. And we'll get right to it today. Got a pretty good show. I want to talk about, in the first segment here, we're going to get to James Robinson and how unsung I think he is, and how even though we gave him a lot of attention last year, how easy it is for us to forget because of the new toys and the new parts and all of the new additions and a lot of the new rhetoric, how fortunate we are to have someone that solid, and how I believe adding more weapons makes him even that more dangerous. Now, James is quiet, so you ain't going to really hear a lot from him, but that's one of the traits and characteristics that I think James Robinson brings to this team that I really, really like. And I'm going to like him more this year than I did last year, and I'll tell you why. Segment two, I got my man Corbin Smith from Locked On Seahawks. He's going to talk about Shaquille Griffin, and I'm going to do this periodically over the next couple of weeks where I bring in guests of our from affiliates of mine on Locked On that cover teams where some of our free agents have come from and give you a firsthand knowledge of it. You're going to like some of the information, some of it you won't, but for the most part, we just try to be as completely honest and as transparent as we can here. So Shaquille Griffin, the new starting cornerback for the Jaguars. Corbin does a real, real good job. He's also with SI, so he has his finger on the pulse of that team up there a lot. And we'll let you hear what he has to say about Shaquille Griffin. And then we're going to talk value in segment three. A lot of comps going out there about the draft. And I think sometimes people get confused about what my version of what a comp is. My version of what a comp is may be different from what somebody else's version. So I'll explain that in segment three and talk about some of the prospects that maybe the Jaguars are getting, so you understand comp and compensation and prospect and all of that stuff as we get ready for the NFL draft. But let's just get back to James Robinson real quick. And what I mean when I say that James Robinson is really probably going to be a lot better this year. One, he's going to mature. Two, that's self-explanatory. But you're going to surround him with a better supporting cast. He's going to have more weapons, not going to face as many people in the box. If we said that last year and the previous years about Leonard Fournette, we have to say it about James Robinson, that once his success wasn't because folks didn't respect him. You can say that after 1 or 2 weeks. But after a while, folks then came to the game and said, okay, we need to stop him, and he was still successful. We have to give him his flowers for what he was able to do, considering that the offense wasn't that great and that dynamic. They're going to be better. They're going to be a lot better, and a lot of the focus is going to be on the quarterback, and a lot of the focus is going to be on the other weapons. That makes it much better for him because one of the characteristics and one of the things that he does well is he is very hard to tackle for one person. And it's for different reasons than speed, and it's not that. It's not like he's going to shake somebody out. It is almost Emmitt Smith-like. And I remember last year I did a podcast, and I compared him to Walter Payton, and everybody told me to pump my brakes. You know, I think it was a crossover. It's like, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, no, listen to me. I'm not comparing him to an all-time great. And this will probably give you an idea of also how I feel about making comps. What I mean is there are certain traits and characteristics in his game that made another player great that he does some of those things. Walter Payton wasn't the biggest, wasn't the fastest. He had a natural strength and natural body lean, James Robinson. He was very, very hard to tackle, James Robinson. He played the game in a very silent, business-like way, James Robinson. He did everything. He blocked, he ran, he caught it. He always seemed to squeeze between cracks. He ran short yardage, he leaped. Walter Payton, James Robinson. That's what I mean. It doesn't mean that he's as good, doesn't mean he'll be as great, doesn't mean that he does all of those things as well as that person. It just means to me that there's this uncanny ability. When you see Walter Payton and you saw Emmitt Smith, and they have always been compared to each other, there are just two running backs that when someone says, what makes them special? I don't know. Just watching. James Robinson. That's what I mean when I say that. So if you get a spread field, and the more opportunities you get with James, I feel sorry for, and I'm going to cut myself off. I just had this vision of some 240-pound linebacker in the middle of the field trying to stop James Robinson after he catches a perfectly thrown pass into the flat where he doesn't have to break stride. And he catches it, and he looks, and he sees this guy looking at him. It is going to be bip, bop, gone, bye, see you later, stiff arm, whatever. You're not going to tackle him right there. Unless you are Bob Sanders, Sean Taylor, Levante David, Derek Brooks, and maybe Devin White sometimes. But the regular players, the nice NFL starter on another, nine times out of ten, they're gonna get done. They're gonna miss that tackle in the open field. He's going to squeeze between these cracks created by the offensive line and these gaps that are going to be in the defense that are going to create it because teams are going to have more respect for Trevor Lawrence in the passing game. And even though they want to be more explosive and dynamic in the backfield, what that means is this. When James Robinson comes out of the game, they want to add something else to that running back room that says, you know what, don't think you're going to get a break. Because just think about it. When you take him out last year, the other team got a break. And so you put another guy in, he might not be the same type of running back James Robinson is. He might not be exactly like him, but you ain't going to get no break. You still got a job to do. That's what I think makes him special. He kind of reminds me of the Jacobs kid out in Oakland. They kind of had a little bit of the same stuff, just hard nose, just going to be physical, bring it. I think he's a blessing to have, and I just think sometimes what happens is we get so used to the shiny stuff that everyone's talking about, we really forget that we got this dude on our team. And when I say us, I mean Jaguar fans, people that either cover the team or that are fans of the team. James Robinson is for real. James Robinson showed last year he is a player. He is a really good football player. I mean, it's just he has a very dependable style. He has a very dependable style. He has a very, you almost know something good or positive is going to happen every time he touches the ball. He doesn't seem like the kid is going to fumble. He doesn't seem like the kid is going to let bad things lead to other bad things. I just think, you know, sometimes we got to stop, breathe, and pause and realize how special of a talent James Robinson is. And I just thought I'd bring that up to you guys today. Yeah, see, sunshine and rainbows, T-Wig, good news. Good news. It's not always bad news. It's not always me just, you know, talking about what has to be done or what hasn't been done. See, there you go, James Robinson. Salute to James Robinson. So I'm pointing out some of the things that you guys, you know, may have forgotten that are actually good things. And besides, everybody loves Trevor. He can be Trevor's best friend, trust me. In pass pro, as well as being able to dump that ball off, and being able to take some of the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence on first down, if he can get 4 or 5 yards and put him in nice down and distance situations on second down. All right, man. So we're going to talk about Shaquille Griffin with my man Corbin Smith. And we're going to do that in our second segment here on Locked On Jaguars. So stand by. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball with this tournament, and the NHL are all in full swing, and BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality shows, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, sports, and odds on every single game. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website to use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% off as a welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. So here's how it happens. If you deposit $200, you'll get 50% of that was $100 as an additional welcome bonus, but you have to use the promo code, and that promo code is Locked On. One word, Locked On. And BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. It's where I go, and it's where you should go too. It's where I trust, and it's where you should trust as well. All right, man, so get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast, Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, my man Corbin Smith from Locked On Seahawks, right here with your man Tony Wiggins on Locked On Jaguars. All right, man, it's your man T-Wig with Locked On Jaguars. I told you guys what I was going to slowly get around to doing once the Jaguars stopped signing players was to get my friends that know the players that were signed. And I got my buddy Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks on right now. Corbin, how you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I would not have anybody else on to talk about Shaquille Griffin other than you because you know him very well. Shout out to my man John Shipley, too. Because John Shipley is my buddy here in Jacksonville, and you guys know each other, too, because of your other outlet that you work for at SI. So I wanted to shout John out real quick because John kind of vouched for you and kind of did the same thing for me and told me how good of a guy you were, man. Ain't that something?
I appreciate it. I don't know that he knows me very well if he's saying stuff like that.
Yeah, man. But we signed Shaquille Griffin. And one thing I always wonder is, how does a 25, 26, whatever year old physical corner hit the free agent market if it's worth it? So is it Seattle's position that they have a replacement for him? Could they not find a way to actually afford to keep a starting cover corner in the prime of his career? Because we're glad to have him in Jacksonville, but I always wonder, is like, how was that too easy to get him?
Yeah, that's a really good question because the bottom line is Shaquille Griffin is a really good corner, but he's not elite. And I think that the Seahawks, the way they've handled this situation, if they didn't want him to get away, they would have extended him before he had a chance to get to free agency. I was under the impression when free agency was 2 or 3 weeks away and they hadn't struck a deal with him that he's gone. I didn't see any way with Seattle's salary cap situation that they were going to be able to dish out the money. Now, they made a last gasp effort. I don't know how much money they offered, but it obviously was not near what the Jaguars did. And the Seahawks just didn't have the ability to be able to spend that much. And I don't think they wanted to because, again, they really like Shaquille Griffin. They would have loved to keep him around. But he's been marred by inconsistency in his first four seasons. He was a Pro Bowler in 2019, but he didn't have any interceptions that year. Last year, he had a career-high 3 interceptions in 12 games. So he made some strides in that regard. But he also had a game he gave up over 150 receiving yards to the Cowboys early in the year. Mm. So when you look at the consistency issues that he had, I think Seattle believed with him being a starter as a rookie, stepping in next to Richard Sherman and eventually replacing Sherman when he tore his Achilles, I think they thought this is our next shutdown corner. And it just never materialized. He was a very solid starter for them. I just don't think he ended up emerging the way that the front office thought he would. And at the end of the day, they weren't willing to pay that price tag for a player that they didn't think was elite at the position.
And that's amazing because Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke have talked so much about value. And some of the free agents that they went after, they didn't value them at that number that, say, like a New England may have valued him at, because the guys I'm talking about are Jonnu Smith and Matt Judon, allegedly and reportedly they were outbid for them with all of this salary cap space. It's funny that Seattle, obviously, while they liked him, didn't place that same value on him. And when you have a team that has a guy in-house they don't value, does it make you scratch your head and wonder how another team values him that much when the people that really, really wanted him to succeed didn't value him that much?
You know, in the case of Jacksonville, I think this is one of those things where every player that signs in free agency, you just have to look at specific details. And I think this is a really nice signing for the Jaguars because I think you put him with CJ Henderson, you've got yourself a very good secondary. And I still think, I know that the Seahawks, maybe they view this differently than what I do. I still think Shaquille Griffin can become a shutdown corner. The issue, as I said, has been inconsistency. So maybe he unlocks that coming back to his home state and having another really good young corner across from him. I think the Jaguars, the money they threw at him, it makes a lot of sense from that standpoint because he is still only going to be 26 years old. He's an incredible athlete. His ball skills have improved as his career has progressed. And so the big thing for Jacksonville is going to be able to get that consistency. And if they can't, if he is able to find more consistency in his game, then this kid has Pro Bowl, maybe even borderline All-Pro caliber talent. He just hasn't been able to put it together. And I think from the Seahawks' perspective, the other thing worth noting here, this might be a sense of cockiness coming from Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll, if there's one position that he can develop players, it's the cornerback spot. I mean, he took Trey Flowers, who has had some rough games here and there, but Trey Flowers has started more than 40 games, and he was a safety at Oklahoma State. And right. he was a fifth-round pick, and he started in week one as a rookie. I mean, Pete Carroll, that is the one position that he has just been a master at developing players, and late-round picks at that. So I think he's looking at Akella Witherspoon, who they just got for the 49ers, a player they liked the same draft they had Shaquille Griffin. He's thinking, you know what? This guy has the length, the athleticism, the ball skills we want, and I can get him for $11 million a year less. I'm going to trust my ability to coach that guy up. So to me, that's the biggest thing here is I think Pete Carroll just looked at it as like, we have a certain price point we'll pay for this particular corner. If he exceeds that, I'm going to develop somebody else because I trust my ability and my coaching staff's ability to get these guys playing to the level we want.
It's funny you mentioned Akella Witherspoon. He was one of the guys that I actually in my I like William Jackson, and I said if you can't get William Jackson, Akella Witherspoon, because I never thought Shaquille Griffin was going to hit the market. So to assess his strengths, the things that he does well, and then assess that for me, and then tell me, you talked about consistency. What type of wide receiver? Who was that that got gave up that 150 on him? Was it the small guy? Was it the fast guy? Or was it the big physical guy that's going to just run the slants and get the first downs? So go strengths first, and then the weaknesses that you attach or attribute to his inconsistency.
Well, when we're looking at strengths of Shaquille Griffin, he's a willing tackler against the run game. That's the first thing I'll tell you. He plays with a physical brand of football. He has had a few issues with not wrapping guys up, but it has nothing to do with his attitude, not wanting to be involved. He comes up and he makes plays in the backfield on screens, run plays. So you're getting a very sound tackler, a guy with legitimate 4.3 speed that is really hard to blow by. Receivers have a tough time beating him vertically. Now, he has had a few times where he's given up long plays, but it isn't because of his athleticism. It's because of busted coverages. To me, that would be the biggest weakness that I would throw out there. This is the biggest reason he has struggled to be able to get to that next level is you'll have a couple games where he's playing really well. He gets an interception, a couple pass deflections, and then he'll just have a horrible breakdown in coverage where he misses the assignment and then a receiver gets wide open. That happened a couple times in that Cowboys game. And then there was a game 2 years ago against the Vikings where Treadwell, who we all know never lived up to draft expectations, but he got wide open for like a 60-yard touchdown. And after the game, Griffin admitted that I just didn't do my assignment correctly. And unfortunately, that happened way too many times while he was in Seattle. So I think that probably ate at Pete Carroll a little bit. Last year, I thought overall he was better in that regard, but discipline and just breakdowns and focus, those are the biggest issues that I think Shaquille Griffin's had to tackle. And he's also missed a handful of games each of the last 2 years. I'm not going to say he's injury prone. They haven't been significant injuries, but he missed 4 games last year and he missed 2 games the year before.
All right, Corbin Smith giving us the lowdown on our new starting cornerback in Jacksonville, Shaquille Griffin, having played in Seattle all of these years. And Corbin, of course, does a great job with Locked On Seahawks. I got to ask you this though before you go. It's none of my business, but I'm just being nosy. What's going on with Russell Wilson, man? They going to trade him or not?
No, they're not moving him. And, you know, it's been a very bizarre, been a very bizarre situation because the first 2 weeks after Wilson first came out publicly with the comments about the offensive line, pass protection issues, not being involved in personnel, I was just thinking this is another case like the Giants a few years ago, offseason fodder. They're just throwing out some of these storylines because we need something to talk about. And then when his agent said, but these are 4 teams he might take a trade for, then I started thinking, you know, this might be actually more serious than I thought it was. Right. But based on the conversations I've had here over the last several days, I don't see any way Russell Wilson's getting dealt. I think the Seahawks all along that, you know, they might have listened to a few offers, but they were not going to move him. He's going to be under center. I think they've made some nice moves that are going to keep him happy. I know he was very excited about getting Gabe Jackson to protect him. So that was a huge move for the Seahawks. I think getting a veteran guard like that, that's a really good pass protector. That's how you get back in your quarterback's good graces. And I don't know that he was ever actually trying to force his way out. So I expect that when Jacksonville and Seattle play this year, you will see Russell Wilson on the other sideline.
I suspect so too. And on draft night, while we have our 10 draft picks, I'll be busy and glued to the TV. You can go out and do whatever you want. You can go swimming. You can go surfing. Y'all got three picks, man. You ain't got to hang around the TV. Don't worry about it. I'll call.
John Schneider will find a way to turn it into 6-7. That's just what you
do. I was going to say, man, just go on and go out to dinner or something. I'll call you and tell you, you know, what's up. Corbin, man, thank you for joining me here on Locked On Jaguars. We're going to talk this year, obviously, for a crossover, and it's always good to hear from you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. More Locked On Jaguars in just a second on this Tuesday. I got to tell you folks about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is where you need to go for the absolute best auto parts and accessories you can find anywhere. That's right. And when I mean anywhere, anywhere. Don't go to your chain store and be standing there with your hands in the pocket trying to figure out what you need to do. Why endure that pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning when all you need to do is go to your computer and access rockauto.com at home or in your pocket on your mobile device? One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save you money that you can then use for other important things like mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 40, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership? Don't do it. Go to rockauto.com right now and save money. It's a family business, and they've been open for 2 decades, and they'll do it for you. When you go to rockauto.com, you'll see a box. They'll ask, how did you hear about us? You know what you do? You put Locked On right in there so they know that we sent you. The amazing selection with reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. That's where I go. That's where you should go as well for all your parts and accessories for any make or model of vehicle. Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. And now Built Bar is competing with each other on Built Bar Madness. I was about to say something else, but it's Built Bar Madness. That's right. It's time for you to find out which Built Bar is the best. Which one? I know which one I like, but I'm not going to tell you. What you need to do is go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar on Twitter. And if you do that, what happens is you can then vote on the matchups in the brackets. You know, March Madness isn't the only madness that's going on. Built Bar has their own madness going on. Vote on your favorite Built Bar. And then, you know what? You're probably going to get hungry at the same time. If you want to eat a protein bar that's 100% covered in chocolate that has high protein and high fiber with low calories and low carbs, then Built Bar is the answer. And if you order Built Bar on BuiltBar.com and enter the promo code LOCK15, you're going to get 15% off of your next order. That's right. BuiltBar.com, 15% off of your next order by using the promo code LOCKED15. It's at bar_built on Twitter and BuiltBar.com. Okay, man, we're back getting ready to talk about comps and what I mean when I talk about the comparisons of NFL players and a lot of talk about draft prospects, specifically Devontae Smith and his success. And people love to talk about his size, but don't talk about his strength. And I think those are two things that need to be talked about. Like somebody will mention like Devontae Smith's size and then go, he'll struggle against corners. Not if he's strong. What if he has the strength of a 190-pounder? Just because, you know, you can't just go size and then think he's going to struggle. He hasn't struggled in college with size. I can tell you who will talk to you about these draft prospects. The Draft Dudes will. Their podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the NFL podcast, the NFL Draft Podcast, is right here on Locked On NFL. Follow Draft Dudes and follow Locked On NFL Draft on the radio.com app wherever you get your podcasts. Look, I don't know if he's going to be a good player. I know Deshaun Jackson was about 175 pounds his entire career. A guy named Robert Brooks, that's who he really reminds. He reminds me, Devontae Smith reminds me, if I really went old school, Charlie Brown, who played for the Redskins, Robert Brooks, who was 175 pounds, who played for Green Bay. Now, people go, well, you know, those aren't guys you pick in the top 10. Sure, but the game is also played differently. You know, you didn't pick Tyreek Hill in the top 10 either, but he's a top 4 wide receiver. There's a lot of guys you wouldn't really pick in the top 10 back then. That you wouldn't pick Isaac Bruce in the top 10 either, but the guy had, 14,000 receiving yards or whatever. I just the comp part to me is not that he'll have a similar career path-wise. The comp part to me is, how do I envision him being used at the NFL level? What type of success do I think he could have? Now, he could have a longer career than Robert Brooks. He could even be in a better situation than Robert Brooks. He could be on a team that wins more championships than Robert Brooks' team. That's not the point. The point is that's how I see him being able to be successful. When I watch him run routes and when I watch him go in and out of his breaks, when you say no one his size has been able to do it, I'll go, BS. I saw a guy do it. I saw a guy do it catching balls from Brett Favre at a very high level doing it, even though they only did it for 5 or 6 years. I saw him do it. So that's what a comp is to me. What body type, not just what he looks like, but how he can be used. And someone used a Randy Moss comparison, and I wanted to laugh. I'm tired of people comparing anybody to Randy Moss, first of all, but I can't ever compare a guy that's 6'1", 170 pounds to a guy that's 6'4", and what, 195 when he came to the league, 215 when he left. It's just not even the same thing. Nobody's going to be throwing jump balls in triple coverage to Devontae Smith. They're just not going to do it. It won't happen, okay? And Randy Moss is a 4'2 guy at 6'4". It's just some of these things don't make sense. Now, if you're saying that a slightly built guy that catches impossible balls that he's not supposed to catch, okay, I get it, but that's not a comp. That's not he's not going to be used the same way. He's not going to even appear to be the same way on the field. He may get a similar result, but he's not going to be used the same way. Derrick Henry is got a similar result to Emmitt Smith, but they're not comparable. You feel me? They're not the same thing. Run heavy, play physical football, but they're not the same. They're not even the same time. You wouldn't even call the same plays for them. So the thing is when I talk comp, I'm going to tell you some comps I had back in the day. When I saw Larry Fitzgerald, I said I saw more talent than Chris Carter. Not bad, right? Right. When I saw, it was a pass rusher a couple of years ago who was kind of slightly built, and I kind of said it was Randy Gregory. And even though he hadn't panned out because of personal reasons, I said when I saw Randy Gregory, I saw Jason Taylor. Body type, how he could be used, things that he could do. One of the good ones I made a long time ago was when I saw Andre Johnson, I said I saw Terrell Owens. Very, very similar to how they played, ate up the entire route tree, could do anything. That's what I mean by when you say a comp or a comparison. You know, similar traits and how a guy can play and how he can be successful. Trey Lance, I see Donovan McNabb. That's what I see. Doesn't mean I'm right, it's what I see. And the only way I can see it is I have to see some physical similarity or some way that I believe that they could be used the same in the league. Now you have to take the comp and then you have to do this. Teams have to figure out how they're going to use them. And teams have to figure out the compensation, whether they're worth. And this is where we get back into something that I've talked about before. And that's being a prospect. Somebody has to have a gut feeling that Devontae Smith has these intangibles and he's going to be very good. It's happened before. Teams have taken undersized quarterbacks. Teams have taken quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson. Teams have taken undersized cornerbacks like Denzel Ward in Cleveland. Teams have just gone against it and said, you know what? I'm going to take it. I'm just going to do a top 10 pick was used on Aaron Donald when he at 6'1", 285. And folks were like, he ain't going to cut it. There's sometimes you just have to go against it and say, he's going to get it done. Do I think he's worth it? I think he's worth it, but I think he's worth it at a reasonable spot. You're not going to get crushed if you take Devontae Smith because he has enough intangibles that are going to make him successful. And he's also not going to be a colossal bust because he's too good to be a bust. Now, will he live up to expectations? Nobody knows. Nobody knows that about anybody. But where you'll get in trouble is this. You'll get in trouble if you trade up for a player like that. So it's one thing to have a gut feeling about him and take him. It's another thing to give up assets to move up and take someone who you have questions about because they don't fit the metrics or they don't fit the dynamics and they don't fit analytics of what the position is supposed to be, because the word prospect means the likelihood that it's going to succeed. So you don't gamble on that when it doesn't match. That's where you get in trouble. That's where you get in trouble if you're a GM. Not from taking a chance, but trading up and betting a house and taking a chance on a position and a player where the value isn't there because it goes against all the norms and mores of the position. You can't gamble on a gut feeling. You can't at any position. You just cannot do it. But if you do, you better hit a home run. I mean, you better nail it. Because if you don't, that's when you get fired. You don't get fired for doing things that 75% of the people would have done if they were in your situation. And as messed up as that is, that's just the reality of it, and that's how it goes. But this is your man, Tony Wiggins, here on Locked On Jaguars. Keep watching this stuff as it unfolds in the draft, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes and how this all measures out. And remember, a lot of this stuff goes to this. Some of these guys are good players, but they're only going to be as good as the team allows them to be. And that doesn't mean the team makes them. I don't think teams make players. I think players are who they are. I think teams, though, can be a hindrance to players because they don't put them in position to be successful. I don't think you can make someone something that they aren't, because in the NFL, it's going to show up. Eventually, even if someone is just successful because of your offense or because of how they're being used or because some play design, eventually somebody's going to expose it. Generally, if someone is good in the NFL repeatedly, over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's because of them. It's because of them. And if they go somewhere else and they're not as good, it's because you're not putting them in the same position to be good anymore. That's just kind of the way I feel about it, because that league eventually will make you tell the truth. Those guys are just that good, and eventually those guys will make you tell the truth. All right, man, so we're here every day, Locked On Jaguars, because it's your team every day. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you guys on tomorrow.